Ed, we made it.
We did indeed, Austin. Great to be here with you, brother.
All right. Are you ready to dive into this foundational session?
Let's do it. And just a reminder to everybody, it's very important that you go through this material before our first session on Monday, okay? Please don't skip it. This is really going to help you. It's going to give you the foundational, the background material you're going to need for the material on Monday to make sense. So if you're going into that without having reviewed this, you're at a disadvantage. So it's really critical that you study this. We're going to go through it pretty fast. So that's the only thing I wanted to add before we get started.
Cool. So I'm gonna fly through this content. All of you watching, please go back and watch it a second time if you need to. It's what the recording is for. I'm gonna drive the presentation. Ed is gonna interject from time to time, bring clarity. We may have a little bit of conversation dialogue here and there. But without further ado, let me go ahead and get this party started. Okay, session zero. Let's go. So, what we're going to cover related to monetizing your advice is the challenge of doing it, the solution, at least the way Ed and I think about it, and the process. So, as for challenge, this is going to be familiar to a lot of you already. Those of us who are freelance writers know very well that the amount of writing work we can sell and deliver is dependent upon our energy and our enthusiasm. You know, I've found that my energy in the mornings is different than my energy in the afternoons. If I'm needing to do highly creative writing work in the mornings, there are only so many mornings in the week, right? My enthusiasm kind of waxes and wanes. And then when you think about like good writing, it's inherently non-hackable. Even if you leverage some AI tools, even if you have templates, even if you've been doing it a long time, you still have to make this finite time investment in order to deliver a good outcome. And I have found that good writing can be kind of unpredictable too, and that you do a white paper or case study or whatever for one client, and maybe it takes you 10 hours, right? Well, delivering a level of quality that you're pleased with for the next client, that may take 11 hours or 11 and a half hours. So there's just, it's really hard to control your own time investment in relation to quality, right? So these are the factors that limit our income, right? Because if we have this set or finite inventory of hours with which to deliver writing, well, when we run out of hours, our income is effectively capped. So those are the factors, right? There are more. We could keep on going into them. We could go deep down this rabbit hole, right? Health, like that's a factor. Current life responsibilities, like I have three kids, and you better believe that like I'm building the house of cards of a writing project, and then a kid comes in, and then the house of cards just goes splat, and then they finally leave, and you get it, right? There are factors that limit writers' income. So you juxtapose that with the fact that we have writing skills, creative skills, but we also have these other capabilities and aptitudes. Lucid thinking, right? It's hard to produce really good writing if it's not coupled with good thinking. We have to come up with ideas. We have to do research and synthesis, right? We have to figure out our own process. We have to stay organized. We have to plan projects. Often we have to get up to speed with a company or brand's voice or unique way of showing up. And we have to understand how that brand is connecting with subjects or topics or even things that are happening or trends, right? So we're making these new connections, we're producing insights. Along the way, we're solving tons of problems. We're doing analysis. And, you know, when it comes to like putting together writing, we have to be super resourceful. Like, hey, you know, I just had a bunch of paragraphs. Maybe I should interject a quote. So now I have to go find a really juicy quote that's relevant. And, you know, I have to use my judgment as I'm making all these decisions. Ideally, I have some domain expertise so that if I understand personal finance, for example, and can write about personal finance effectively, authoritatively, then that makes me a lot more attractive to clients. So I've got that domain expertise, or maybe multiple domains where I have a point of view, right? And then beyond that, what about humor? What about empathy? What about integrity? Like, we have character and personality traits. We have our backgrounds, right? Other jobs you've had. I love to read. I've got a decent vocabulary. There are all these things that become this sort of layer of value, multi-layered value. Writing sits on the very top of that. Writing is the cherry on top, right? But we have all of these other aptitudes that enable us to produce writing. And I'll explain more why that's important here in a moment. So we just talked about those aptitudes. Writers sell writing, then use all those aptitudes to deliver it. Meanwhile, consultants, they sell those aptitudes like problem solving, research, analysis, synthesis, ideation. They sell those aptitudes, but then how do a lot of consultants actually deliver the work product? A report, a plan, a strategy, right? So it's kind of crazy to think that writers and consultants, many of them have the same aptitudes, only consultants get paid a lot more. That's an important point. So remember that one. Where does that leave writers? Well, we've got those financial constraints, or those caps on how much we can make, right? What our income can be. You get booked solid with writing. It's nice to have the money, but after a while, you feel like you're on that hamster wheel of words. Also feel like you can't complain, because if you know any other writers who are struggling, you don't want to be that guy who comes in, I'm so busy, I'm just overwhelmed with paying projects. And they're like, oh, thanks, I feel so sorry for you, right? But meanwhile, there's this red ocean, this shark-infested, highly competitive red ocean of other writers. There are millions of other freelance writers out there, you know, burning down, burning out. This is a real consideration if you've been on the hamster wheel. And then I will throw in choppy market right now. Recession is kind of still looming, at least while we're recording this. You think about AI, right? That has already displaced some writers. And even though I don't think it will replace every writer, and even though I think AI is actually highly valuable to writers, it's caused a lot of concern. It has caused a lot of, I can't say a lot, it has caused some companies, some clients to kind of pull back on what they were spending with writers. These are real concerns, right? These are real obstacles. So red ocean, hundreds of thousands of writers just in the US, millions of writers worldwide. You can understand why there can be negativity around freelance writing right now. This sounds negative, like meanwhile, our poor clients, but this is another reality that Ed and I want to connect you with, introduce you to. There are lots of clients out there who don't always know what's best, don't always know what they need the most, don't always know how to organize their ideas, don't always know which of their ideas are best and why. Meanwhile, they come to you with like a writing project. Hey, can you help us rewrite our website? But they don't necessarily see the deeper problems. Well, hey, the reason your current website kind of sucks is that you don't have a distinctive brand, or the reason your blog isn't getting a lot of engagement is because there's no point of view here. Everything kind of feels vanilla and generic. And you, because you're the expert and you've been doing this long enough to develop that point of view, that perspective, that expertise, you're thinking, well, it's obvious. Like, if you want people to engage with your blog, like, you have to write really valuable content, right? So you've probably been in that situation where you get on a discovery call, you, without fully realizing it yourself, sometimes start to consult with them and say, well, here are some of the problems that I'm seeing. Here's why your web copy isn't great. Here's why your blog content isn't great. Here's why no one downloaded your last white paper. You know, honestly, your case studies are kind of boring, right? You can diagnose some of these problems. You can point them to some bigger opportunities, and they get really excited, right? And then you send them a proposal that is going to solve all their problems. And then they have sticker shock. And it turns out their eyes were bigger than their budget, right? That used to seem like a problem to me. I'd be disappointed because I had sunk all of the time into creating that proposal. And I'm like, but hey, this is fair. The price here is fair for how valuable these outcomes will be for you. Ah, right? But I also kind of get why clients feel reluctant to go from, hey, we just met this guy or we just met this gal and, you know, we really liked what they said on that first discovery call. And yeah, we actually have never worked with them. We're reluctant to like sign like a multi-month contract, do a retainer, bite off a really big budget, hand it to them. If they're still kind of untested, I get that, right? Like, they may need to do something smaller first.
Well, Austin, I would say that one trap that I fell into as well was the opposite of this, was I'm listening to them and I'm thinking to myself, all those things you said, they're going to need mm-hmm. this, and then they're going to need that. And then they need a messaging platform because this is really outdated. They're no longer communicating their value the way that's on their website. Yes. And you know what I did? And I think anyone can probably relate. I would play really small because I knew that if I offered this whole package,
they're going to run away.
They're going to run away. So what did I do? I gave them what would help me close the deal, but I was not serving them in the best way possible because I knew in my heart that this wasn't going to give them the results they wanted. This is what mm-hmm. they said they wanted, but because I wanted the 2,000 instead mm-hmm. of 20,000, mm-hmm. I knew I could close 2,000. 20,000, there's no way, I can already tell. Yes. So therefore I sold a 2,000. And you know, I was very good at that for a long time. But I just knew that I wasn't serving them in the best way possible.
And there have been a few situations for me that were similar. Later down the road, I found out, well, they gave somebody the $20,000 project. And I'm like, wait, what? They'd already pigeonholed me in their minds that he's our blogger. He's not necessarily going to be the strategic thinker who helps shape content strategy, who helps us rethink our messaging, who can write killer case studies, right? So I'm with you, Ed. There are times I played it safe and ultimately it hurt my positioning in those clients' minds. So believe it or not, it's not all dire. That's why we're here. The solution is, you know, drum roll, sell your advice. Sell your strategy, right? Sell your ideas, sell planning. So just for the sake of clarity, when we use the word strategy, we do mean brainstorming and ideation. We mean some problem solving. We mean planning. We mean diagnostic work. We mean giving advice, sharing ideas, right? Making recommendations. We're lumping all that under strategy. Obviously, this circle would look really crowded. The blue circle would look really crowded if we included all those words. So just know we're kind of collapsing all of that advice related stuff into the word strategy. So we already delineated the red ocean of writing. There is still this blue ocean opportunity of selling strategy, writers selling strategy, not consultants who've worked at big management consulting firms, but writers selling strategy to small business owners, right? Sometimes medium-sized business owners, I've discovered. Okay, so you're like, okay, Austin, I'll kind of entertain this idea. You've got my curiosity kind of running, but what do you get when you sell strategy? So I already kind of alluded to this, where if writing is that red ocean where there's a ton of competition, for you to start selling strategy, planning, diagnostic work, advice, ideation, really does help you stand out from all of the, I think about it as being a short order cook. There are a lot of writers out there, and I was one, so I'm not bashing anyone, but you're a short order cook. You're like, hey, what do you want? You know, in the South, we'd say sugar or honey. You know, what do you want, honey? Right? And I write your order down, pass it to the cook. I'm also the cook, so I'm back there in the kitchen. I make your hash browns. I make your omelet. Here you go, right? By helping clients think more strategically, you stand out from the short order cook writers. You also get to use and get compensated for that full stack of skills and aptitudes that we talked about earlier. And this is really important to me. I do like some variety. I have this really bad tendency when I feel like I've cracked the code on something and I understand it and I can do it well. I'm like, all right, what's the next intellectual or creative challenge? What's the next puzzle to solve? So I've really enjoyed selling strategy, in part because, you know, if like variety is the spice of life, I like having a little bit more spice in my creative work, right? I like doing the head work. I like solving problems. I like helping clients get clarity. I still love the writing work. And I think that should be said. We're not suggesting when we advocate for selling strategy that you just get away entirely from writing work. Like, I delivered a big writing project yesterday. I still do the writing work, but I like to do the head work too. And I like to get paid really well to do the thinking, not just the writing. And Ed and I already talked about this, but if you start selling advice, if you start selling strategy, it gives you better positioning, stronger positioning. You're not just an order taker. You're a leader. You're an expert guide. And I think people want to hire experts. And I think being an expert, positioning yourself as an expert with a point of view, with perspective, earns trust, helps you build rapport. And ultimately, and we'll fully unpack this later, I promise, but ultimately, I want to solve the right problem. I have taken on projects. I have been that short order cook. I write down exactly what they say they want. There's that little voice that chirps in the back of my head that's like, hey, didn't you have a couple other clients who tried the same thing and it just didn't work? Right? And that little voice chirps at you, but you're like, well, hey, I'm not supposed to like push back. I'm not supposed to like lock horns with this client. I'm just here to take the order and then fulfill it. It's disappointing though, when you dot every I, cross every T, you actually do the work well. You know, you make that omelet, it's prepared to perfection with a little sprinkle of chives on top, right? And you give them that omelet on the plate, but they're disappointed because you didn't solve the right problem together. And so I've really enjoyed selling advice and selling strategy because I get paid to even help them figure out what the right problem is. What are the problems we're solving? But wait, there's more. This just became an infomercial. You get more flexibility with your scheduling because you're not trying to book out every hour selling writing. I've found that if I've got to prepare proposals sometimes anyway, I might as well get paid for that discovery. I've got to do it. Right? How many of you, let's do a show of hands, right? How many of you have ever had to spend like several hours with a client to sort through the almost, no, that's a terrible image, word vomit, sort through word vomit. But how many of you have ever spent hours that you didn't get paid for to even figure out what the project is? Why not get paid for that instead? Yeah, thank you. Show of hands, right?
Show of hands. Well, I mean, I'll tell you, it's funny because for me, when I became aware of this opportunity, it came from a sense and a place of frustration, and specifically with white papers. Mm-hmm. So from 2006 to 2011 or 12, I mean, that's 6 years of writing mm-hmm. white papers. I had a love-hate relationship with them because they were big dollar, long form. They would, you know, nice paychecks, right? But I was not getting paid for the discovery work. I was doing mm-hmm. all this unearthing and guiding and providing ideas and perspective and not getting paid for that, for the client. And then guess what? When I did get hired for the white paper, I would have to do that anyway.
Yes.
You know, I would have to do that anyway, but guess, you know, so when I was not getting paid for it, I was rushing through it because I'm not getting paid. So yes. I'm doing a bad job of unearthing because I got to get just the facts, mm-hmm. ma'am, you know? And then when I do get paid, now I have to somehow figure it out and make it work with the fee that's supposed to be for the writing and the research.
Yes.
But so I got budgeted a little bit of time for the discovery phase. And then once I have the project, but not too much because I got a lot of research and writing to do. Right. So it became an issue of trying to wedge this in either unpaid or even paid. It's a problem either way. That's when I realized I need to splinter that off
yes.
from the project and turn that into a separate engagement. That was kind of the big revelation for me back then.
Me too. I was doing it all along. That's what you were saying, Ed. And I was sitting there thinking, we already do this. We have to. Like, in order to deliver good writing, we have to get the insights. For a white paper, you know, what is the research? Like, so imagine if you could organize all that in advance, right? And while you're organizing all that in advance, you're also getting paid to vet the client. So what if you get to the end of that planning session and you're like, this person is hot mess express and I don't ever want to do writing for them. You don't, like, you can walk away. You can say, here's your plan. You know, good luck finding a white paper writer. You know, good luck having any close friends because you're horrible. Right. But like, I've loved this. There are some clients that we did a strategy engagement where I got paid to deliver advice somehow. And then I'm like, peace. Okay. I'll run through these last ones quickly. You get paid to increase scope. If you're there as a consultant more than a writer and you're unpacking needs, oftentimes those needs represent a bigger budget. And then the client will, hey, if we need it, we'll find the budget. And then guess who has first right of refusal? You do, right? We already kind of alluded to this with paid discovery. Why create proposals for free when clients will pay you for like road mapping? And we'll get into some more of the language and packaging or framing later. But I want to get paid to create my proposals. I want to stop trading time for money. Definitely want to transition to value-based pricing. Okay, this is just one observation from David C. Baker, who wrote The Business of Expertise. And this was my experience writing work, where there are so many more things that can go wrong with trying to please a client when I'm working on a writing project, what he calls execution, implementation, right? There just aren't that many things that go wrong during strategy. You create a plan together, you deliver the plan, that's it, right? But you don't get into like why you think it's advisable that they use contractions in their writing and they insist on spelling out every verb. You're just like, are you kidding me? This doesn't matter. Read the Chicago Manual of Style, you twerp, but you can't call your clients twerps. So strategy, does actually help you avoid a lot of headaches in my experience, which matches what David C. Baker said. Okay, this is all fine and good, right? Oh, there are all these benefits to writers to selling advice. But what do your clients get? Because a lot of us, hopefully all, we're conscientious. There needs to be a fair exchange of value. We want to make our clients' lives and businesses better. What do they get? Space. I know that sounds so simplistic, but I cannot tell you how many clients I've worked with that would not have put together a plan if they didn't pay me to help them put together a plan. They're paying me to block out time in the calendar, create space so that they can be more strategic. I help them get clarity. I bring my objectivity and expertise, right? Sometimes clients just want a thought partner. They want someone else they trust to help raise their confidence in a specific path or plan of action, right? They may need some help getting organized. That's true with content. Hey, what should be in our blogging roadmap, right? It may be true with like LinkedIn posts. Hey, what should we write? That organization may be true for like a big marketing campaign. Just help us come up with a plan, right? You're helping them get pick a direction. You're helping them get traction. And all these things maybe are a little bit squishier, harder to pin down than like 1500 word long form blog post. I get it. But in my experience, this list you see in front of you is just as valuable, if not more valuable, than 1500 word blog posts, right? Long form narrative case study. Okay. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road in terms of greats. It's beneficial to writers to sell advice. It's beneficial to clients when we sell advice to them, when they buy advice from us. What does that look like, Austin? Okay. I'm going to tell you a really quick story. Not because I think it's so material to our conversation here, but I just want to very quickly explain how I got into this, because I think that context will help. I was at the beach, had a bit of a crisis, realized that my family was in debt again. And instead of being out on the sand playing with my daughter, my mind was going crazy trying to figure out, I have a very limited amount of time. I need to make this amount of money for my family and we need to get back out of debt. It seemed like this insurmountable obstacle at the time. And I want you all to know that if you're feeling like writing is a grind, I've been there, okay? If you feel like your capabilities have grown and you're more than just a writer, I've been there. If your financial needs have changed and you need to make more money than you have been making, right? If you're realizing that you're already doing this, you just haven't been charging for it, you haven't gotten paid for it. If your time is more precious to you than ever, and you're kind of sick of doing marathon discovery sessions, and then spending more time on a proposal and then still not being sure to land it, I get it. I truly think this process can get you out of this pickle. For me, it was road mapping. A friend of mine, Brennan Dunn, had a podcast back in the day called Double Your Freelancing. He was a software engineer, and then he kind of realized the same thing. I'm sick of investing all my time putting together these proposals. A lot of these clients don't have a well-defined plan. What if we called it road mapping? And sure enough, he started charging for this. Clients started accepting it. And I thought, wait, what? Like, clients will actually pay you to help them do all of the things. So this was happening for me in 2015. In early 2016, I started trying this, right? Someone would come to me with a jumble of ideas. They're like, hey, can I pay you to help me with this? And I'm like, what is this you're referring to? What is the project, right? So if you're thinking about the process, like Austin, Ed, how do we start doing this? How do I start doing this, right? first things first, I was just helping my clients organize their thoughts. And I stole Brennan's language. I called it road mapping. And I'm like, how about a 90-minute road mapping session for $500? And JD told me yes. And I was like, what? Really? So I kept trying to push the envelope. And I'm like, I played around with the offer, right? How about a road mapping session for $650? Got a yes. What about $1,250? Got a yes. Now notice the dates here. So this is April 2016. This is December 2016. This is August 2017. I was playing around with this for a while. Kept raising my prices, kept on dialing in the framework, and just received more and more positive validation that this is meeting a real need for clients, right? Raise the price to $1,500. Raised it to $2,500. Raised it to $3,500, right? And the scope expanded too. And again, this is December 2020. So as I gained confidence in the process, I started raising my prices. Your confidence goes up, you'll find that your prices do too. So I can tell you that this process will transform your business if you stick with it. If you stick with it. So these days, what has happened in my business because of this process? It's about 60% consulting, about 30% coaching, about 10% copywriting. You don't have to have these numbers. Maybe you would just love 50% writing and 50% advice, consulting, or whatever you want to call it, right? I only show you this not to say you need to become like me, but to say your business can evolve if you trust this process. Okay, what is the process? What do you need? Why did Ed and I even put together this workshop? Well, first of all, you need mindset shifts. And that's in a big way what this foundational session is for. We want to shift your mindset and help you realize other writers are already doing this. It's a blue ocean. And you can transform your business, change your mind, change your life, right? Clear definitions. There's a word salad out there right now. Like, what is strategy? What do you mean sell advice? I've done like a content audit before. Is that what you mean? So we're going to give you some definitions just to help you keep all this stuff straight. You also need a juicy offer. So it's not enough to say, well, I can help you with ideation and brainstorming, or I can put together a content roadmap for you. Like, you need that offer. We're going to help you do that this week. We're going to help you do that, right? Some upsells, right? So you don't have to have these right out of the gate. But if you offer a 90-minute strategy session and they love it, why not do a 3-hour workshop? You can have other things that are kind of in the same family that you can sell. And I'll go back up to this slide real fast. I have 6-month fractional CMO engagements. I have brand development projects, 1-day strategy sprints, 1-on-1 sessions, a group program, workshops, products. All of this is selling advice, y'all. We say y'all in Tennessee. Forgive me, my northern neighbors. All of this is selling advice. All of it. Right? And so you're already doing this. You can figure out the packaging. You can figure out some upsells. You're going to want to come up with some messaging to go along with your offer, ideally focused on the benefits. Hey, guess what? Remember that list earlier when I said, here's what clients get when they buy strategy? A lot of those benefits, we've already got the list for you. So we're going to help accelerate your progress with all of this, right? Value-based pricing. That's the crazy thing is you're doing really well these days if you were to charge hourly for copywriting and you're charging like $250 an hour, right? But out of the gate, what was I charging for a 90-minute strategy session, road mapping session? $500. So the perceived value of advice with the right target audience is so much higher than the perceived value of certain types of writing. You need some marketing assets. You know, you could even start with like a write-up in a Google Doc. It doesn't even have to be a web page. And it bothers me that after web page is a period instead of a comma. So all of you diehard grammar people, you'll have to forgive me. Structure, we're going to help you with that too. A lot of delivering these advice-focused engagements is just knowing what the structure is, right? What should be on the agenda? What questions should I ask? Once I pull all this content out of the client, can you give me a template? And we kind of flow it into that, right? So I've found if I have a framework or a template and some questions in hand, I really just become a professional listener and then a professional regurgitator. A lot of the roadmaps and the plans are me just giving a cleaned up version back to the client. It's not that complicated. It's not so different than if you were to interview someone and produce a blog post afterwards, right? Finally, delivery and client experience. We're not going to sell a ton of sizzle here, but I do think it helps to think carefully about some different things that you can do in order to make these sessions special, to make them feel more valuable. Ed, anything to interject? I know I'm putting you on the spot before we keep going.
One thing, and I would say I would urge everyone here to keep an open mind over the next few days, okay? We are going to be introducing some new ideas. In many cases, they may not be revolutionary, but we're going to be approaching them from a very different angle. I need everyone here to keep an open mind. Don't come into each session thinking, oh, that's not going to work, or that hasn't worked for me before, or I tried this, or my clients aren't the kind who need help. Or I need you to set all that aside and come to it from a different perspective. Because look, not every client is going to need this kind of help. Not every client is going to see you as the person who might help them. And not every client is going to be willing to pay for it. That's fine. This is not about trying to convince those who have already made up their mind. This is about trying to convince those who are on the fence or who quickly realize they need additional help. And there are plenty of those in those categories that you could do really, really well here. So I don't want you to focus on past stuff. I don't want you to focus on your situation and how that might be different and how you're unique. You need to understand that it's, if you want to do well with this, you need to just show up with an open mind. That's all.
That is so good. When I fix that comma, I'm going to add open mind at the bottom of this list, because I think that is essential. You have to have an open mind in order to get into selling strategy and to do it effectively. Okay. I mentioned mindset shifts and we are almost finished. But there is a little bit of a paradigm shift here, right? Because, you know, Ed and I we've played around with this idea of selling strategy for a while, selling advice. And I've found that a lot of writers are so accustomed to giving so much that when they start just sharing ideas or advice, doing the head work, they almost feel like they're shortchanging their clients or they're not doing enough. So just be aware of that, that as you start to get compensated, not just for the hands work, not just for the writing work, but for the head work too, you may find yourself like thinking, hey, the report should be 12 pages instead of 3, right? We'll get into that more later, but there is a paradigm shift here. You're not just a writer. You're not just doing hands work. You're like a writer and a strategist, or a writer and a consultant, right? And what are you selling? Like writers, we sell time, skills, and effort. But we can also sell expertise, perspective, and insights. You can sell ideas, you can sell advice. And I'll just stress, back to Ed's point, if you keep an open mind and you sort of scan the terrain, you'll realize people are already doing this. People already pay for advice, expertise, perspective, insights all the time. Why shouldn't you be one of them to start charging for it? So key mindset shifts. And then, like I said, we're getting very close to finish. You're not just a writer. You've always been a strategist and writer. You've always been a planner and writer, right? You're not just selling words. You're also selling clarity and direction and advice. You're not this commoditized writer in a red ocean of very, very similar options. You're an expert guide. You're not just an order taker, omelet and hash browns. Let me serve that right up, sir. You're also a problem solver. So whether that problem is we don't know which ideas to move forward with on our blog, hey, we don't know which project we should prioritize first. You're like, I can help with that problem. I can help you solve that problem. You're not just a vendor. You're a partner. And your job as a writer isn't just to take the order and make your client happy. It's also to bring clarity. From time to time, if you see them about to make some boneheaded move, you can say, hey, can I bring different perspective? I had another client try that. It did not go well. Is it okay if I tell you that story? Bring clarity. You can help some clients avoid mistakes. Okay, I'm going to fly through this. What the heck is strategy when we talk about it? Strategy is the collection of decisions you plan to make to get from where you are to where you want to be. Okay? We'll come back to that later. It's a good definition to know. Can you help a client decide what decisions they'll even make? Okay? We're not going to dive into all the different flavors. We're going to help you put together a single offer that will probably relate to one of the three you see here in bold. But I think it's important for you all to know there's a great big world of strategy out there. Once you create that initial offer, you can keep growing in that direction if you want to. What does offer mean? Hey, Austin, you keep throwing that out. An offer is a service or a group of services that you package up with a specific outcome you assign to those services, right? Like a roadmap is a specific outcome, right? Fixed price, fixed scope, clear benefits, and delivery date. How is an offer different than a service? Well, think about hip replacement. Hip replacement is a service. Maybe it's also a surgery, right? But it's a service a doctor performs. An offer is something like, how would you like to go on a pain-free hike with your grandkid? That's an offer. Offers are just much more compelling, much more attractive than services. We're going to get into the parts of a juicy offer. We're going to give you a worksheet and framework for this. So when we say, hey, we'll help you build your offer, we're going to demystify what that is. And when we talk about your value ladder or different ways that you can go with this, we just mean that you can have multiple versions of the same advice offer at higher price points with bigger scope. You already do this with writing, right? You can have a similar value ladder for your advice offers. I already mentioned this. What do clients get? And I have to keep on reinforcing this because some writers, they actually find it pretty easy to start doing this with clients and they feel like it's somehow unfair because it's easy. I'm like, we have to keep stressing this point that clients pay for this because it's very valuable to them. Finally, don't get ahead of yourself. Don't turn this into some big thing. You signed up for this workshop and you went through this foundational session because you want to take it one step at a time. So what are we going to do? We're going to reframe the value you create. We're going to help you package up this other value that you create. Start offering more than just words. You've already done and always done more than that. right? We'd like for you to sell one session. Maybe it'll be 90 minutes, 60 minutes, but one offer can be one session, and know that your confidence will grow through doing, not through thinking about it, but through going through each of the sessions, putting together your offer, getting that offer out into the world, getting a yes, doing it. I showed you my progression. My confidence came through doing, not through thinking of doing. Our upcoming sessions each has a very specific focus and goal. You can take a screenshot of this, or you can just show up. Ed and I are excited to guide you through this process. And if you want to, if you're that overachiever type who wants to get ahead with an assignment, then I would just encourage you to go through these two exercises. Look backward. Hey, what have your most profitable and satisfying projects been? What did they involve? What made the experience satisfying? And look forward. Like, have you already done this sort of thing and just not charged for it, the way Ed talked about with a white paper? All right. That's it, Ed. I'm going to stop sharing. Any closing thoughts?
No, that's this is great. And again, the important thing is to keep an open mind. Important that you also have all these times scheduled in your calendar with alerts, and understand that you're going to have to do a little bit of work outside of these. And my Wednesday is going to be strictly a solo work day, so you'll have that as well. But give this project, give this effort a priority, a strong priority this week. We want to make sure that by Friday, you may not be 100% there. Nobody ever is, but you're, you know, like at the 90% good enough level where you've got the offer ready and you're ready to go out there, and you're going to be scared, apprehensive about moving forward, but that's normal. That tells you that you're on the right track, because you're going to be growing. So that's it.
All right. We will see you all very soon. Thanks.
Talk soon.